What's up, it's Chase Young.
What's up, this is Terry McLaurin.
This is Carson Wentz, and you're listening to Washington Football Talk Podcast.
Week one is over. Commanders are 1-0. Looking ahead to Detroit, the real beginning of Detroit week starts now, and we're going to do a podcast.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What up, everybody? It's JP Finley. It is Detroit week, Wednesday. The hell time is it, Pete? What time is it, Mitch?
4:04.
Also the road that gets you to the beach. 4:04 on Wednesday. It's Detroit week. We're brought to you by Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, want you to do the exact same thing. They got 7 locations all over Northern Virginia. Also, it's Bob Biagi's birthday tomorrow, but it's Biagi's birthday.
Happy birthday, Biagi.
Meow, 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 meow. Yeah, there you go. Go check out Biagi at Oarsman Chevy of Alexandria. They also got Buicks and GMCs. So if you looking for a Buick?
I might be in the market for a Buick, yeah.
There you go.
You're still in the market for a Tesla, though, right?
I'm in the market for something. I'm over 100,000 miles with my beat-up grandma car, so the end may be near.
Cars can go way more than a hundo now.
Yeah, I know.
But whatever. I'm going to be in the market for one, too, soon.
That is
that's an underrated storyline.
First time in a while.
That is, like, probably not a pod storyline, but quite a storyline.
Yes. Yeah.
Quite a storyline. Well, here's what I can tell you, boys. As somebody that has bought multiple vehicles with our guys, our people over at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia at multiple locations, they take good care of you.
Good.
Seriously.
I hope I get a Camry.
Hoping for a Camry, huh? Camry's very smart. I drove it. When I put the truck in for service, I got a Camry. I like that thing.
I know. You love Camrys.
They're nice.
Yeah.
I want a sedan, too.
My first car was a Camry. I liked it. It was blue. All right. Brian Robinson at practice today. Ran the ladder drill, rode the bike. It's a miracle everything is cool, and I love this story. But today might be the last time it's news to me until it's week 5 and he's playing the Titans.
Yeah.
Am I right? Am I wrong?
Practicing and with a football in his hands, but this was definitely another step. And, yeah, the agility drills, like he wasn't going through them full speed, but he was going through them in the locker room. The wrap was off, and he just had, like, little stitch bandages, like 2 or 3 of them on his right knee.
For the record, Pete made an edit that I think would have been fine. All I did was drop a 50-cent lyric. Go ahead.
Thank you. The way he's interacting with teammates, it's almost like he's just a guy who pulled his hamstring and he's going to be back in a couple weeks. They're now treating him normally, and that's really fun to see.
Yes, it was great for us to see him out of practice today and for him to be riding the bike and all that stuff. He had the sleeve went from kind of mid-thigh to mid-calf, give or take. But when you ask the players in the locker room about, hey, like, how good was it to see him out there? Like, guys were like, yeah, like, I loved, you know, we're stretching, warming up, and you look over and see B-Rob on the bike. But at the same time, he's been around the facility. You know, these guys have seen him. I have to believe he's been sitting in on meetings and has been part of the team outside of when he's doing his rehab. So it's a great story today. Don't get me wrong. The fact that he's even able to be out there this quickly is incredible. But we couldn't talk to him, and we won't have an opportunity to talk to him until he comes off that NFI list, which will be after that Week 4 Cowboys game. So
we all assume it'll be
assume
after that.
That's when he's eligible to come off.
He's eligible to come off there. We don't know if he will, but he's trending in a really promising way.
Totally. You want to just run through the rest of the injury stuff? Curl, Allen,
yeah.
O-line. Go ahead.
Wes Schweitzer was a DNP with that hamstring injury. Now here comes a group of limiteds. Cam Curl, thumb, limited. Caught up with him in the locker room. He seems like he's anxious to play and would be willing to play in a cast, but hasn't caught a football yet, hasn't really tested himself too much. John Allen with that groin, limited. Trey Turner, quad. I'm assuming it's the quad that bothered him all camp, limited. Here's an odd one. Jamin Davis, non-injury / personal, but he was limited. I think JP talked to somebody. It turns out Jamin had something planned.
Yeah,
talked
he just
to the
had
coaches.
To leave early, basically.
He left early. Encouraging one, and this could help the offense even more. Cole Turner, his hamstring, full participant. So you had Logan, you had Rogers, you had Bates. You might get Cole Turner in the mix, too. Just another person for Wentz to involve.
Is Armani inactive if you pull Turner up?
Got to be, right?
Yeah, but maybe there's
keep them all active.
Maybe there's another player. We would have to look at the game day roster and see who didn't really play that much. Maybe there's a linebacker you can trim off or something.
Diami Brown.
Yeah, yeah. Diami, right.
How many snaps did he have? Six?
I don't think he had a single target, and I would much rather have Armani Rogers, who has been showing us something, as opposed to Diami Brown, who really hasn't shown us much in the past
six months. Certainly can't come from the O-line, who is already showing need for depth, particularly at the guard position. That's quite worrisome.
I totally agree. You got a bunch of old veterans. You can call them old or you can call them veterans. Both are true. And they're all beat up, and they haven't practiced, and there's this thought they'll play themselves into shape, and all right.
Maybe they'll play themselves into more injuries.
Who's playing this week, yes or no, non-binary? It's Wednesday at like 4 o'clock, so we don't know.
4:23.
Schweitzer.
No.
No.
No. John Allen. Yes.
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 Curl.
Yes.
Yes.
JP?
Yes.
Okay. Contemplative. I think he's going to get himself out there.
Turner.
He said he's played with the cast before.
Turner, like yes.
Turner, well. Both Turners. Turner parlay. I'm going to parlay the Turners.
I think both Turners play, yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
Anything stick out from Carson before we get to our interviews with Ron Rivera? Hello, JP sat down with him Monday. And then Mitch, who'd we get for our second interview?
We got Maury Povich as the second one.
I love talking to Maury. It's just so cool.
It's so fun. Big Commanders fan, grew up in D.C. Obviously, his dad, Washington Post legend. He's a legend in and of himself.
And he is really kind to us and gives us a lot of time. And
It's fantastic. Yeah. It's just fantastic.
Anything from Carson, JP?
You know, I think the Carson Wentz, whether or not his reputation is real, he has this reputation, and the reputation rehabilitation continues. I asked him, you know, at times that offense was really good. Other times it wasn't. What do you need to do better? And he's like, I can't turn the ball over, which was pretty obvious. It wasn't really where I was going. I kind of wanted it to be more of like a schematic thing, but that was accurate. And then, you know, I think he was really diplomatic talking about all the weapons he has and how good they are and how diverse they are. So did anything stand out? No, but like the – like, you know how we joke about the streak of – how many weeks they've done something right and how often that gets broken. Like the Carson Wentz, how many weeks he's done something right in Washington, he's Cal Ripken. He's every week. Like as far as everything that's happened here, I'd say on the field and off the field now, he's doing everything you want from QB1.
You cut it off at this point in this moment, he's deserving of coming back next year and the year after. He's got 17 more weeks still, and I want to see how he handles failure. Is it as easy for him to accept responsibility when it's on him, when this team is losing because of him? Maybe they don't ever get to that point. Maybe this is a magical season. I don't expect it to be, so I want to see how Carson handles the bad with the good.
Threw two picks and bounce back.
Yeah.
Threw two picks and bounce back.
But without that bounce back and then the week and then there's all this the dark cloud that we know that is always over this place returns, I want to see what Carson does.
My only counter to that is he deserves credit for staring at – he looked at the abyss.
He's been an A-plus so far and –
I don't remember the exact line, but the quote about the abyss is you got to be able to look into it, and what looks back at you, you got to be able to handle, right?
Yeah. Who is that? Walt Whitman?
I don't. They say it in Wall Street when Bud Fox is getting arrested. I don't know.
Okay.
I know it from Wall Street.
Cool.
But, like, he looked at the abyss and bounced right back.
Sure.
Now, 60 more games, certainly, but, like, you can't just be like, well, I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop. The shoe fell. Maybe it didn't drop it. Yeah. Maybe it fell and he caught it, but, like,
He's rocking the hell out of the shoes better than Mitch did in week one.
Whoa.
Despite what some of the haters said.
Why are you giving him shoe shrapnel, dude?
Yeah, that was some real shrapnel. Yeah.
Mitch has a specific word for people that insult his shoes.
Yeah, I heard it on Sunday.
You only judge Carson on what we've seen from him. He's been good. Can't worry about all the outside noise. Maybe, regardless of whether that's true or not true, the guy may have learned a lot over the past 2-3 years.
Totally.
And there's a lot of maturation that can happen when, you know, when you're dismissed multiple times over that time frame, and sometimes you look inwards and you grow. And from everything we've seen from Carson, it doesn't match up with what we've heard from Indianapolis.
Yeah,
judge not, lest ye be judged. And Philly pointed this out to me, and I think it's interesting. I'm not here to promote or condone or condemn or any of that. Like, I don't have an opinion on it, right? Pete is a strong vaccine person. Others are not. But Carson did not get the vaccine last year. And in turn, because of NFL policy, that put him in a world where he couldn't really hang out with his teammates. Like, they were all supposed to be separated. Like, this was an intentional policy by the NFL. And perhaps that led to some of this, you know, separation or not total familiarity, whatever it was. That's not the deal anymore. So, like, maybe it's easier for him to be hanging out with his teammates because they're all just in the locker room.
Yeah.
And they're all in the meeting room.
If you watch the touchdown to Terry back, Carson sprints downfield, him and Terry, like, do that classic football player helmet bump. They're staring at each other. You can tell there's, like, passion and excitement for each other. They look like they've been together for 10 years, so maybe there is some bonding. And I want to give Carson credit up to this point. I've really liked what I've seen, and I should perhaps stop waiting for the mudslide, the stuff to revert back to what it was, because perhaps it never will, even if it goes poorly. Maybe he's a better guy, and I want to
recognize that's the other
that.
Part of it. He could have 4 picks, and they lose in Detroit, but maybe he's still just like, man, I got to be better.
Yeah,
you know,
great.
Like,
right.
I don't want that because
personal
I don't want
growth.
The 4 picks.
You don't want
right.
The 4 picks.
Right, right, right.
Hell, the Lions are favored for the first time in an NFL football game.
What's an early lean
years.
On this game? I've never seen a supercharged Jeep, but here we are.
There we are.
I think Kime should really slow down. At least
the facility. He's going to get that boot again.
My early lean is a loss. I think the Lions, that place will be pretty loud. They're going to give the ball to DeAndre Swift, unlike the Jaguars didn't do with Travis Etienne. And I think St. Brown and Hawkinson as well are going to be able to move the ball.
I think both these teams are going to score plenty, but I just think the Commanders are a better football team. I think that they're better on both sides of the ball than the Lions are. I think Jared Goff's going to move the football with DeAndre Swift. I think the Lions receivers are kind of just I think they put up some numbers because they always play from behind. That game against Philly, down double digits most of the entire second half outside of the last 3 minutes. So they were able to, you know, they were able to put up some points against what was probably a little bit more of a soft defense. Fun little schedule quirk. Sam Cosmi gets to play second number two overall pick, or number one overall pick, Trayvon Walker, last week against the Jags. This week, he gets Aiden Hutchinson.
That's smart. Number
kind
two overall pick.
Yeah.
Kind of a funny little 1-2 thing because you have Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, who are also playing that little 1-2 thing from the 2016 NFL draft.
Those are good little nuggets. I don't know. My initial read after that Jags game was Detroit would beat them. I also think Hard Knocks kind of like morphs your brain on the team that's
big
on
time,
Hard Knocks.
Big time.
And it's still the Lions. I may just have to have the same mindset from last week. Like, man, we're really talking ourselves into this thing, but the Jags stink, and the Lions stink. So, I don't know. I'll give you an official on Friday.
Yep, we'll talk on
Let's
Friday.
Let's go to –
We've seen the Commanders lose a lot in Detroit over the years, including breaking the 19-game losing streak.
Sure. Yep, seen it with my own, too.
Yep, let's go to the interviews.
Ron and Maury, here you go. Maybe Maury and Ron, whatever order you think.
I'll do Ron and Maury.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
I always appreciate getting to sit down and talk with head coach Ron Rivera, but especially after a win, and especially after a win like Sunday against the Jags, I want to start here. I know that you and the players try to block out a lot of what gets said. For guys like Carson Wentz and a guy like Curtis Samuel that have had tumultuous off seasons, how happy were you for those guys yesterday?
I was very excited for both of them and excited for our football team for the most part. But, you know, as far as Curtis is concerned, you know, we've always known what he's capable of because we had him in Carolina. You guys never really got the opportunity to see him because last year, you know, being hurt on and off. But this year, coming into training camp and us developing the plan for him to ramp himself up and the way he went about it, the way he did his job, and then getting to play the way he did yesterday, that was very exciting. It really was. And it was very gratifying to watch him play to his abilities. as far as Carson is concerned, it's just there's so much outside noise about, you know, about this is him and this is who he is. It's not who he is. And I think we got a great exhibition of that post-game when he gave the post-game speech and took responsibility right away for having thrown two interceptions, saying, you know, I've got to play better. I can't throw the ball like that. I can't throw two interceptions back-to-back. I mean, you know, admitting that to his teammates in that moment, I thought, really spoke volumes about who he is. And then, you know, just how humble he was in terms of accepting the game ball. I mean, he did some really good things as a football player on the football field Sunday, but I think what he did in the locker room spoke volumes.
How important is that game one for his teammates to see, hey, whatever people were saying about him? Because, listen, training camp, preseason, everything's supposed to go well then, right? Like, you haven't faced adversity. Now you've looked at it week one, stared in the face, responded, come back to win in the fourth quarter. What does that do to the teammates looking at Carson?
See, I think that's the important part about it, JP, is that he did look it in the face. You know, we did have some adversity. We did have a lull. But he came out, made a couple of plays right off the bat. After the two interceptions, he throws the deep one to Terry on the fourth play of that drive, touchdown. I mean, that just showed that, hey, he can find it. He can dig deep down inside, keep his focus, maintain his composure, and make a play like that. And then in the 2 minute for us, having to drive it down and in a situation where we could have killed the clock, we stayed aggressive. He had a great read, made a great throw, and Jahan makes a great play.
Jahan sold that route. Like, it was really impressive to see from a rookie. But with Carson, after the first pick, I imagine you didn't say anything. I'm guessing. Correct me if I'm wrong. After the second pick, was there a moment there? Do you think you needed to say something?
There was, and I did, because I saw him right in front of me, and he was pounding his helmet into the ground. And I said, hey, let's get past it. You're going to have to win. You're going to have to go back and win this one for us. And he looked at me and goes, I will. I mean, he said it so matter of fact with confidence, not bravado, maybe a little bravado, but really confident that, hey, I know, I'll get my chance. And he did. And that one was really cool.
What was your feeling when the ball was in the air going to Terry deep down the right sideline?
Oh, he had him. He had him. Because, you know, I'm listening to the play call, and I hear the last comment. Hey, hang with Terry a little longer. If you got him, throw it. So I was watching. So as Terry got off the line, it got even, and I said, oh, he's leaving. And then he threw it. And I said, oh, yeah, here it goes. it was pretty cool. It really was. Just because, you know, being in tune to what's going on the field and then watching it unfold was really kind of a cool thing for me as a coach.
Let's talk about your three wideouts. I'd have to go back and look at the stats, but, you know, all three of the starting wide receivers bring in touchdowns. Dotson gets two in his rookie debut. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. How do you feel about that position group?
I feel very good about it. I mean, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I've always talked about, you know, we got to protect him and we got to put playmakers around our quarterback. And I think, you know, the wide receiver position speaks for itself now. I really do. I think with Terry and a healthy Curtis out there and Jahan and even the backup players. I mean, I think Cam Sims is a guy that's so underrated.
Sure.
And that's partly us. You know, we got to give this guy more opportunities. Diami with that great outside speed and the ability to make contested catches. And Dax Milne's now coming into his own. I think we've got six really good football players that give us a good combination no matter who's out there.
What's the conversation today, now that maybe the emotions of the win have waned with Carson, about protecting the ball a little more?
Well, and that's been really good. I mean, just he understands and he gets it, knowing, you know, what Kenny has talked to him about, what Scott has talked to him about, is really, you know, making better decisions or making quicker decisions or getting from one read to the next quicker. You know, these are things that they're going over with him right now as they go through the tape.
I want to get to the defensive side of the ball, but just Logan Thomas coming back from that knee injury, you know, 10 months later and looked pretty good.
He did. Logan looked really good. Not quite back to the old Logan that we know of, because he's still kind of working himself into shape. And that's the hard part, because for the most part, you know, he missed most of training camp. A couple of our offensive linemen missed most of training camp. John Bates missed training camp. I mean, we have a number of guys that are going to work themselves back into shape just because they missed so much time during camp.
All right, other side of the ball. Jacksonville stubbed their toe a lot with some opportunities. Miss touchdown throw, drop passes, stuff like that. How do you feel the defense performed yesterday?
I think they were solid. I think they were sound in a lot of areas, but there were a couple areas that we have to shore up, most certainly. You know, I really appreciated what Jack and the rest of the defensive staff did this past off season in terms of looking at some of our coverage techniques, finding ways to work our coverage a little better, a little different, and play a little bit more to our players' abilities and skill sets. And I think that's been a little bit of a boost to their confidence. We made some mistakes out there. We did. But you also got to look at who we're playing. We're playing a couple of second-year guys. We're playing a couple of rookies. And they're going to make mistakes. But the key is we got to get better with the communications. And I think that's one thing is as they check through the defense and make their calls, you know, and get themselves aligned up, you know, they've got to be crisper. They got to be better. And they've got to be ready and focused on what's going to happen or what they anticipate to happen.
Bright spot in the secondary, at least. I think your D-line played pretty well.
Yes.
They really did a good job pressuring Lawrence. But Derek Forrest's play stood out to me. That's a guy that missed most of his rookie season with various injuries and got an opportunity and made it work. How did you think he played, and how does that help you going forward?
Yeah, because it's interesting because, you know, we really liked Derek last year. He gets hurt as we're finishing camp, and he misses the first part of the season.
Right.
Then he started to work himself back in, and you saw some things that tell you he's got a chance. He comes out and has an outstanding training camp, played well in the preseason, so we gave him opportunities. And then, because Cam can't play, we put him out there. And every day in practice last week, he practiced well. And so we're a little surprised he played as well as he did, but it doesn't surprise you because he practiced well. So his preparation was outstanding. I think he's a young man that's got still a lot of room for growth. But if he continues to play at that level, I mean, we have something there.
Even Cam comes back, it seems like you still figure out a way to keep him out there.
Well, yeah, because Cam comes back, he's our Buffalo.
Yep.
So now he is, you know, we'll
play. Forrest goes there.
Yeah, yep. We'll play with three safeties out there.
Sure. Some bad news on the defensive front. Yeah. Fedarian Mathis went out. Looks like he's out for an extended period of time, maybe the season.
I'm sorry. He has an injury to his knee. That's going to require surgery, and so we're going to IR him, and we'll go from there.
John's okay. John Allen's
yes.
okay.
John Allen's okay. He's got a groin strain. Hopefully, we can get that taken care of, and he should be ready. He should probably be out in the practice field by Thursday or Friday.
There's a defensive tackle out there you're familiar with, in Star Latulale. Is that something you'd consider?
Some things we've talked about. There's a couple of young guys out there too that we're going to take a look at as well. You know, it's not like we have to replace a John or a Duran, who both played extremely well.
Payne was a monster yesterday.
Yeah, yes, he was. I tell you, both those guys played extremely well. We're looking at we got to replace a young guy,
yeah.
And so there's not that much stress in terms of trying. We just got to find the right fit for it right now.
Looking ahead to Detroit, a lot of speed, tough receiver and Brown. How do you get these guys ready for an opponent that I think might be up a weight class from Jacksonville?
Well, I think first and foremost, we got to understand who they are. I mean, when you put the tape on and I just started to watch it, they're a very physical team. They really are. And that's the thing we have to approach it, is that we are going to play with a physical mentality. This is not a team that's going to come out and try and finesse you. They're going to try and play smash mouth football. So we've got to be ready for it.
Last one, and this is a little off on the field, but not about the game. Yesterday, it was the first game in Commanders history. I thought that crowd was great. Did you guys notice that? What did that mean? Kind of, you're out of the transitory phase and you're into the new reality.
It was exciting because the fans got into it. The fans knew when to cheer, when not to, when to get on us, when to make noise, when to help. You know, and that's important because you get some momentum behind you, and you get a little inspiration from the crowd. Boy, you can be pretty tough. And again, I felt it as a player, I felt it as a coach. Now as the head coach of the Commanders, that was outstanding.
Yeah, I really thought it stood out, especially late in that game. Thank you for the time, Coach.
All right, JP.
All right, we are super excited to welcome back to the pod a serious Washington fan, Mr. Maury Povich. Maury, thank you so much for taking time with us. How are you? How are you feeling after a week one win?
Well, JP, I feel great. It was, I believe the best way to describe it was the coach when he said he needed antacids to watch this team. After the second interception, I was going, oh, my God, is this the same team that I've seen before? But I give him credit. And as I was telling Pete earlier, that the pass to Dotson was not a good pass. That was an unbelievable catch. And there aren't many kids in the league who could have made that catch, especially with the coverage he had.
Absolutely. I what was most impressive to me, because where we sit in the press box, Dotson ran that route kind of right at us, is that what a lot of receivers do in that situation is they turn their head early and it alerts the corner that they're looking for that ball. And he didn't do it till the absolute last second. And I think that's why he was able to make that play and the corner didn't. That's something that like 8-year veterans don't do. And he was doing as a rookie. I mean, well, let's start there. A rookie wideout. You've been watching this team a long time.
Wow.
A rookie wideout with 2 touchdown catches in his first game. How encouraged are you with his performance?
I was remarking before that what it really does, because of what he is now going to get in terms of coverage, it's going to free up McLaurin and Samuel, and as well as the tight ends, because Jacksonville didn't have a really cover corner. And so once you get that, and so many teams have great cover corners, you're going to be able to free up, because they're going to have to cover Dotson.
Besides Dotson, we know what McLaurin does, can do, and will do. But I think my biggest takeaway was how electric Curtis Samuel was, right, especially in that first half. After what he went through last year, what were you reacting like in your confines watching the game, seeing Curtis make the whole state of Jacksonville look stupid trying to tackle him?
Well, the thing about him that to me was remarkable was, you know, it seemed that for a year and all the way through training this year, I mean, every little nick he would sit out, and he didn't get this and he didn't get that. And he only played in 3 or 4 games last year. And when he played, he was, you know, they really didn't use him. They kind of used him as a decoy. And for him not only to play, but making catches in the coverage, I mean, it was double covered. He was taking hits. And I was very impressed.
Also, thank you, Maury. I just said state of Jacksonville. You didn't correct me.
I was about to jump in on that one.
The city of Jacksonville, the state of Florida. Mitch, go ahead. Thank you, Maury, for not jumping all over there.
Maury was being kind. We would not have been.
Yeah, we are not that kind.
Hey, I've been in this business a long time. You know how many mistakes I've made? Are you kidding?
I mean, it's hard to believe that we're third question in, and we haven't asked you about Carson Wentz. What was your reaction to him, and does he kind of remind you of any quarterback in along the way?
Well, I'll give you a little background, okay? And this is why I really have had some faith early on in Carson, because Jeff Lurie, the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles, belongs to my golf club in Florida. And so I talked in the offseason to Lurie. I said, Jeff, what's the story on Carson Wentz? I mean, why does he get such bad press? What is the story? I mean, is he a really good guy? Is he trouble in the locker room? He says, absolutely not. He's a terrific guy and he's a terrific player. And his problems have been injury. That's what they've been. And so I think he said to me, he says, I think he'll do just fine. So I put my faith in that.
How would you describe, because it's become like oddly divisive, and nationally it almost seems like people are waiting for Wentz to mess up and they like pounce on it. Right. How would you describe kind of the week one performance, where he was by and large good but did have 2 interceptions?
Well, I think you saw everything about him. I mean, he's going to take chances, and some of them are bad. That first interception, I mean, he looked at that guy the entire time. He didn't look anywhere else. I mean, he had double coverage, and you were going to get hurt. Rivera says that the timing was wrong on the pass. He was double covered, and he had no chance to get that ball.
Yeah, I mean, have you noticed, and I feel like this is more of a people question, or like a human question, than it is necessarily a football question. Have you noticed that Ron seems particularly intent on kind of protecting Carson whenever he talks about him?
Oh, sure. I mean, he's the coach. He has to. I mean, there's a lot of baggage out there. And he has to give this guy confidence. And I like the fact that after the game, Rivera said that when he threw the second interception, he came to the sideline. He pounded the ground a little bit. And coach said, you got to get over that. And Carson says, I'm going to win the game. And he did. So I think everything you saw, you're going to see again and maybe again. And hopefully the bright spots will be at the end and they'll win the game.
What's your game day setup like? Are you watching with other people? Or are you someone who likes to hunker down on their own and not have anybody in their ear so you can just completely focus on what's going on?
Well, you all have to understand that I learned about sports at my father's knee. My father was a sports writer at the Washington Post for 75 years. He went to every Redskin game. When I was growing up, I started in sports in my early 20s in WWDC radio. And then when I went to Channel 5, I was in sports to begin with. So I grew up around my father, and there's a great book called No Cheering in the Press Box. And so I was silent, whether it's baseball games, football games, all the baseball games I covered working for Bob Wolf for the old Washington Senators. We never said a word. You never rooted for anything. So fast forward. Now I've been a fan all these years. I sit alone. I don't have a lot of people around me. I mean, you know, maybe I have some dip and maybe a brew and that's it. But when I get mad, you know, and I've got the Sunday ticket, when there's a turnover in a commercial, I'll quickly go to the red zone to see if other games are going on, whether I have a small wager. You know, I wager on games. I admit that. I've been wagering on games for years and years. My problem is I'm not into fantasy, although I did make a bet last night that I won, but I went to bed before I knew whether I won or not.
On the Seahawks?
No, I had a prop bet. Here's my prop bet. Okay.
Tell us, yeah.
Russell Wilson, over 22 and a half completions. He had 29. And I fell asleep midway in the third quarter. He had 15. So I had to wake up at 5 in the morning to find out whether he covered my bet.
He took care of business for you.
It's always better to wake up with a little extra cash in your pocket.
Right. And then, of course, I watched the replay of Peyton and Eli saying, call timeout. It's a bad call, wasn't it? It's terrible.
Pay
this guy all that money and you don't go on 4th and 5 in a hostile crowd? How can you not?
Yeah, I totally.
Rivera would have gone for it. By the way, I'm in a big pool at a club I belong to in Arizona called Whisper Rock. It's a great golf club.
You belong to some clubs, man. Wow.
So we have a pool. And the pool is you got to win 5 games. You can pick any game, but you must pick Monday night. You tie a spread, you lose. You got to win the game, okay? I would have won the thing yesterday, except for those Dallas Cowboys. I had to hold my nose and bet Dallas in the pool.
Pick Dallas?
I had the Commanders. I had Pittsburgh. Who else did I have? I had Commanders and Pittsburgh and one other. I can't remember. And lost Dallas and had the Seahawks.
Maury, I'm guessing you're familiar with the Super Contest, the Vegas Super Contest.
No, tell me about it.
Well, the three of us, this was a big investment for us. It's $1,000 to enter. And there's, I want to say there's like 1,700 entries. And it's run through, what casino is it, Pete? I can't remember.
Circa.
It's same thing. It's 5 picks a week, but you don't have to take Monday night or anything. And the three of us combined and we shared our mental resources. And if for at least 1 week, we are tied for first place. We went 5-0.
Oh, so it's a year long. It's a season long. Yeah. Well, with us, it's a payoff every week. So
there's like a bunch of little games in between, like every 3 weeks they pay, every 6 weeks, every 9 weeks.
Oh, really?
Money is on the
But you're tied for first? How many people are you tied with?
We don't know yet. We haven't checked the standings.
Were you 5-0? Were you all 5-0?
We went 5-0.
Oh, yeah.
So
we took five dogs and they all barked for us.
Well, does this mean that you're going to be silly people of the heart and start betting the Commanders every week?
No, I'm already nervous about week two, actually.
We didn't last week.
Yeah. What's the spread so far for the Eagles?
So
for the Lions. Yeah, for the Lions.
Lions are favored by 2.5. The total is a lot higher, but I can't really figure out. It just your instinct reaction, Lions by 2.5, despite them losing, Commanders winning last week. Is that a little fishy to you?
Yeah, it's fishy to me because as I remember, they were down a lot of points, Detroit was, and they came way back to make it a game. So I'm kind of fearful.
Yeah, I mean, Philly was up close to 3 touchdowns most of that second half, and then the Lions got hot late and were able to score. I just wonder if maybe Philly took their foot off the gas a little bit. I am worried, man. I think Detroit, DeAndre Swift, that running back, is the real deal. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a stud wide out. They're going to play really physical. I'm a little nervous about this one. I'm with you, Maury.
My issue is that Jacksonville ran pretty good. I think they had 123 yards or something like that on Sunday. And even Jonathan Allen, I saw in the paper, he was upset with the way the defense handled the run. He said we gave up 2 or 3 really big plays and shouldn't have. So, you know, and with the rookie out, this is how nuts I am. I'm telling you, from the moment that game ended, I started to look, is Jonathan Allen hurt? He took him out. He didn't come back. He's going to be hurt. What's the matter? What the hell? It took me 2 days to figure out and finally read that he didn't think the groin injury was that bad.
Maury, I'm going to give you my cell number. You can just text me and I can tell you what you need to know.
Because oh, okay.
We talked with John in the locker room after, and you could tell he was okay. They ran the MRI, which was a little weird to run an MRI, but they did, and he was fine. It was we all thought at the time that he kind of got popped where the sun doesn't shine, and that's why he went down in such a big manner. And I think that was part of it, but then they just wanted to be sure that the groin was okay as well.
Right. Well, that's good.
News was very bad on the rookie, the kid Mathis.
He's gone, apparently.
You can tell but that.
I'll tell you this. You can see Deron Payne is in his last year, boy, and he's going to make sure he gets money.
So, I want to ask you two questions specific to the offense. Because I think what was so impressive was the receiver group, all of them. I mean, 4 touchdowns between 3 guys, a rookie with a pair of touchdowns, all of it. Which receiver impressed you most against the Jags?
Well, the final catch with Dotson was, to me, unbelievable. I was very, very impressed with Samuel because he was covered a lot of the times, even though he made a lot of catches. And the McLaurin play was you know, that's McLaurin, you know. They shut him out. They use him as a decoy. All of a sudden, boom, he makes the one big play. I mean, that's what he's done, you know, for the last 2 years.
So of those three, whose performance do you think you can count on the most going forward?
Well, you worry about Samuel because of whether he gets hurt. Dotson. You know, now he's going to get coverage that he's never seen. And McLaurin is a staple. I mean, I mean, he's just game in and game out a gamer. So I mean, he's my guy. And I think the fact that he signed a long-term contract and he's now one of the leaders of the team, I think you can just count on him every week.
So after Commanders win, like on Sunday, are you celebrating with a bourbon, with a cigar?
Yeah.
With
Johnny Walker Black.
Johnny Walker Black.
Oh.
We got Pete. Pete won a little money from some sports betting and bought some Johnny Blue and decided.
Oh, he bought the big blue, huh?
I bought the big blue. And I've been having it here and there, Maury, for like big events. And I got to say, I don't like it that much. I don't know if I'm too much of a BITCH or what, but it's not good.
And neither do I.
Oh, you know, my guy.
I'm the same way. And I get, you know, all these friends of mine and people at work and things like that. They for birthdays, you know, and Christmas, all of a sudden the Johnny Blue comes and I'm going, not exactly. I just like the Johnny Walker Black, please.
Can I give you my theory on the blue?
Yeah.
If you're going to spend that much money, and what is it, $250 a bottle, something like that?
Something like that, yeah. Unless you get it, you know.
Sure.
Bootleg somewhere. Right.
I can't validate spending that much money on a blend. Like, if I'm going to spend that much money, it should be a single malt.
Right. And yet, believe it or not, I'm not a single malt guy, and I can send you some. I got some Glenlivet, like 25-year-old Glenlivet that I haven't touched and things like that.
I'm a Scotch guy.
What can I tell you? That's all I've been.
Last time we talked, you were at like your farm, and was it Pennsylvania or something? Is that where you are?
There's a ranch in Montana, no. I believe.
Yeah, Montana, right.
Okay.
It's not really a ranch. I mean, we have a few horses, but it's not really a ranch. We live in a mountain, and we live all alone in a mountain, believe it or not. I mean, I got the closest neighbors about 2 miles. And so I love it there. I just came back after 3.5 months. Our son, who was a commercial tuna fisherman for 5 years, got off the water, and now he opened a machine shop in Montana and he builds rods. And so he's a blue collar boy from Montana and has the big mountain beard and will not come off the mountain. And so every time I say, son, you want to come back for Thanksgiving? You want to come back? No, I'm not coming east. I won't come off this mountain unless I have to. That's what we do. Connie likes it. And I got this little two little golf courses that I belong to, and we play. You guys are too young, but there's an old pro who was 25 years on the pro tour, and his name is Lon Hinkle. And Lon Hinkle we play every other day in Montana. Lon Hinkle has two unbelievable moments in golf. And this was it. They played the United States Open in Toledo, Ohio, at a place called Inverness. And this was in the 1970s. So there's a practice round, and Chichi Rodriguez and Lon are playing a practice round. Chichi all of a sudden hits his drive way over there to the left on another fairway because he thinks he can get to the hole in two. So the first day, Lon does that. Hits it over there to the left. Chichi doesn't do it. Lon does it, gets on the green in two, and makes birdie. That night, the USGA came and put a 40-foot tree on that fairway. So, can you imagine in the middle of a tournament, a 40-foot tree? And the other great thing about Lon was at the old World Series of Golf in Akron, where way back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, if you won the World Series of Golf, this was before the World Golf thing, it was a 10-year exemption on the tour. He came to the 16th hole, a par five, a 600-yard hole. He's behind a tree, a pond in front of the green, and then the green. He skips the ball purposely into the pond, onto the green, wins by one. 10-year exemption.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Couldn't they have just made the other fairway OB rather than putting a 40-foot tree in there?
But the other fairway was part of the course.
Yeah.
Wow.
You couldn't do that. I played I've played courses where you're right. I played courses where, like on the 18th hole, you could drive it down number 10 and get to the green. And they said, no, if you're playing 18, that's out of bounds.
But they did that at Riviera this past year, because I want to say it was like 17 guys were going down 14. And right. then for the weekend the rounds, five. They like changed right. it. Yeah.
Right. You can do it. You played Riviera. It's a good course.
No, I wish. I have not.
Maury just flexing on all of us right now. Maury, the last last Commander's question I got for you. All this excitement, all this optimism.
Yeah.
Is it the run defense? What worries you most, or what does this team need to correct in order for weeks 2 through 18 to go as well as week 1?
Believe it or not, to me, it's always the defense against the pass. And I'm still, I mean, I want to believe that they can create some sacks, but I'm not there yet. I mean, last year they didn't have a good year that way. The year before they did. I mean, I'm still worried about the pass defense, and especially, you know, this second year safety, I mean,
Forrest,
pretty good. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pretty tough. And by the way, you guys know, when's Cam Curl coming back?
It could be this week. We'll know more tomorrow. He had a little cast on that thing all weekend and including on Sunday, but he did a pretty legit warm up on Sunday. Like, I think their only concern is if he can injure it more.
Right.
But be able to tell you more tomorrow evening, I would guess.
So when they so when they lose, how much negative do you get?
A lot. I mean,
yeah,
the fan base is unfortunately in this space where it's like it's a fairly cynical bunch, honestly. Yeah. And I think, you know, you put two decades of losing on top of all the off-field nonsense, and
right,
you whatever your base is, say I'd say a quarter of it, 25% is just overwhelmingly positive, go get them. But a lot of folks are we got to let you go. We're obviously taking up too much of your time. But at what point, like, say they get through 6 weeks, when can you start buying into this team as a real threat? Like, what does it require?
So they've got the Lions, then the Eagles. Then what do they have?
Dallas Cowboys.
Well, that's good. Okay.
Yep.
So now
Tennessee,
we're into
and then Chicago.
Four games, five games in Chicago. I hate to say this, guys. I mean, I think they can be 4-2.
Are you going to make it back east for a game?
Well, I have tickets. My brother's family, my dear big brother, David, who's been a football fan forever, he and I have, he died this summer. And so after we have 4 tickets in the club seats, and we got some other seats. So he has a lot. I have a lot of nieces and nephews there. So they took all the tickets last week. So I hope to get to a game. I really do. If they go 4-2.
More, if you need tickets.
Yeah.
If you need tickets, let us know. We'll get you some tickets.
I know. I got tickets. I've been very fortunate over the years. I've sat in the owner's box. I've had a lot of fun there. I know Dan has a lot of problems, and maybe rightly so. I don't know, but he's always been very nice to me.
You're always nice to us, and we appreciate it.
Well, great.
Sincerely. Maybe nice we check in with you next month.
Absolutely. Call me.
All right.
I'll let you know I'll let you know whether I'm up and down, up or down on FanDuel.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Maury. We appreciate it, man.
A lot of fun. Thank you.
Bye.
Seeing Curtis make the whole state of Jacksonville look stupid trying to tackle him. State of Jacksonville.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.